we've been on a bit of a journey together. If you're just joining us today as a guest, you wouldn't know that, but we've been on a bit of a journey through the Gospel of John, and looking at pictures of Jesus that John brings us. And at the end of John's Gospel, he says that the reason that he chose the things that he wrote about was so that we would know and believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so John pulls out of all of the stories that he could tell about Jesus, all of the amazing things that he did and taught over his time of ministry among them. John pulled out seven statements of Jesus and seven miracles that Jesus did. Seven statements, I am statements, where Jesus declared his identity of who he was. So we're going to do a quick recap this morning. And does everyone have the note pages to take notes if you need them? All right, I guess you do. Good. So first of all, Jesus said, I am the true vine. Jesus showed that he was Lord of the atoms and elements when he changed water into wine. He took one substance and transformed it into another substance, and it was the first miracle that he did. Jesus changed water into wine, and then he said, I am the true vine. We think so often that we are our own source. I can live my life. I can find my way. But Jesus showed us that he is the only true source. He is the true vine. And everything that we live, if we want true life, we want to tap into his life. Secondly, Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. The door to what? He is the door to a relationship with God. Through Jesus, we are forgiven. We are made clean. Through Jesus, we are connected in fellowship to the God from whom we had been separated because of our own sin. And to show that Jesus was the door, we looked at, he healed the son of a Gentile who didn't think himself worthy to come to Jesus. But Jesus has an open door policy. That if you're here this morning and you need hope, come to Jesus, knock on his door, and it's open to you today. Thirdly, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He wants to lead and guide our lives. He knows what's best for you, and you can trust him. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, Scripture says. But he is the good shepherd. And we looked that same message at how he had healed a man who had been lame for 38 years. But he healed him so that he could walk a new path with his shepherd. Next, we looked at, I am the bread of life. Jesus is the new manna for the new covenant that comes down from heaven for us. Jesus spoke of how he came to be bread for us, that if we participate in what he did in his body for us, that we would have life. And Jesus feeds anywhere from 10 to 15,000 people, 5,000 men plus women and children, off a two-piece fish meal. And And then he said, when they were so excited about the food, he said, why do you work for what is not bread and spend money on what does not satisfy? And how we pursue all kinds of things in our lives, money and possessions and toys and relationships, and we try to use those things to fill the eternal hunger in our soul, but really it's only Jesus. The bread of heaven, the bread of life that can satisfy that aching in our soul. And then Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus walked on the water and then invited Peter to step out of the boat and walk with him. Jesus walked on the water. And he makes the bold declaration that he is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father. What you do with Jesus today matters. It matters. It's the most important thing that before you leave this building today, you can do is to decide what to do with Jesus. He claimed to be God in the flesh. So he really didn't leave us the option to say, well, Jesus was just a good teacher. He didn't leave us that option because he claimed to be God. So either he's lying to us or he's deluded and crazy, or he is who he says he is, and he is the living Lord, the Son of God. And last week we looked at, I am the light of the world. The first creative words that God spoke were, let there be light. Can you imagine the first time light entered the universe? And all of a sudden, darkness was dispelled. Jesus gave sight to a man born blind. He spit on some mud, put the mud on the guy's eyes, and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And all of a sudden, a man who had been born blind, who's now 40 years old, washes his eyes and he can see. Can you imagine spending your whole life in darkness and suddenly you can see? Light breaks into your world. Jesus did this in the natural to show that he has the power to do it in the spiritual, that he is the light of the world to us, and that he can bring light into your life, into those dark moments and dark times when you think there is no hope. Jesus can be your hope. And this morning we're looking at his seventh statement, I am the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 11, says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord's and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They were good friends. So when he heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. We're going to skip down a few verses to verse 14. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. He was the encourager, wasn't he? You ever get bad news by phone or email or text? What did you do? I remember the day when I got the call, the evening I got the call when my father had suddenly had a massive heart attack and died very suddenly. And I got the call and it shook me, of course. And I'm thinking of my dad, I'm thinking of my mom who's there dealing with this situation, and it's 9 o'clock at night, and I live 6 hours away from my mom. The first thing I do is I pack a bag, I jump in the car, and I drive. I got in at 3 o'clock in the morning, but I had to get there to be with my mom. Jesus gets this message that his friend is sick and dying. And it's interesting that it says here, now, verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Does that make any sense to our natural understanding? He gets this news, and it says he loved them, so the result of his love is he stayed 2 more days. That doesn't make sense to me. Jesus did nothing, or at least it seemed like he did nothing, because he loved them. What is that about? Jesus didn't want to just come and heal Lazarus. He had something even greater in store. He had an even better plan. He wanted to use Lazarus' life to display the glory of God in a way that it had never been displayed before. And so Jesus was in the process of a setup for a greater miracle, for greater glory. And sometimes when it seems like God is doing nothing, you can be assured that he is always doing what he's doing because he loves you. Jesus is always acting out of love for you. And that even in times when it seems like he's doing nothing, he is setting you up for something even better. Verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come from Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into this world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he's asking for you. When Mary heard this and got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. Jesus wept. The shortest verse in all of Scripture. Two words. But maybe one of the most powerful and significant verses, in spite of its shortness. We serve a compassionate God. And you and I walk through trials and troubles and difficulties in this life. And there are times when we feel so alone. And yet Jesus has compassion on each one of us when we walk through those trials. Jesus shows us that our God is a compassionate God. Jesus knew what he was going to do. He wasn't weeping because of his sadness. He knew that Lazarus was about to rise out of the tomb. He knew what he was going to do. He was brokenhearted because of the pain that he saw around him. And in the moments when you and I walk through pain and difficulty in this world, our God weeps with us. Jesus came in the flesh that he might experience as God the pain and the trouble of humanity so he could have an incredible compassion for our pain. He walks with you through everything that you experience. And even as he's setting you up for a miracle, he carries the weight of the burden of your pain with you. Jesus weeps for you even while he has the answer in his hand. "Take away the stone," Jesus said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. King James Version says this a little, says he stinketh. Lord, he stinketh. He's been in there 4 days. He stinketh. Jesus' resurrection power is greater than the smell of death. We were born into this world. You and I were born into this world spiritually dead. I don't know if you understand that or know that, but we inherited the corruption of sin from our ancestors, from our mother and father, Adam and Eve. We inherited corruption. came into this world smelling of death. And every time we act sinfully and selfishly, we die a little more. You and I have the smell of death on us. Everybody say, I stinketh. I stinketh. Everybody smell your neighbor and say, you stinketh. Until we come to Jesus, we are the walking dead. We are spiritually dead. We have no hope of tasting real life without Jesus. But there is no death that Jesus cannot reverse. Lord, he stinks. He smells. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Take a bath. Take off the grave clothes and let him go. Jesus, when taken off the cross, Scripture said he was wrapped like a mummy in grave clothes. Scripture also tells us that when Peter and John went to find out if what the women said was really true, they ran into the tomb and they saw the grave clothes laying there as if they were still wrapped around a body, but there was no body. Jesus rose right up out of his grave clothes. There is no death that Jesus cannot reverse. Jesus raised Lazarus to show God's glory and his power to reverse corruption. But it was just a prequel to what he was about to do. See, Jesus died in your place and mine, and they put him in a tomb. But he did not stay there. Let's go back to verse 25, where Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will not die. Do you believe this? We serve a risen Savior. And the reason that we believe he's not just a good teacher is that he said he was the Son of God, and then he proved it by rising from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus is the most corroborated event in the ancient world. We have more evidence for the resurrection of Jesus than we do for the existence of Julius Caesar. And if you'd like to go over the evidence with me, I don't have time today, but I'd love to talk to you about it. Jesus is not in the tomb. I've been there. I've touched the slab where they laid him. And I guarantee you, There's no body there. There's no one there. Buddha died. He was cremated, and his ashes were put in a number of different shrines. And you can actually go to the Temple of the Tooth in Sri Lanka, where one of Buddha's teeth is enshrined. Muhammad died and was buried in the Mosque of the Prophet in Medina, Saudi Arabia. But Jesus is a living Savior, and he is not in the grave. Jesus not only raised Lazarus, he not only raised himself from the dead, but the very power of life and resurrection itself comes from Jesus. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection is not an event, it's a person. And he's coming for you. He's coming to raise you. Those who are dead in Christ will be raised to new bodies and new life. And those who are still alive, there will be transformed because the resurrection is coming. And his name is Jesus. Death has no power over those who believe and trust in Jesus. Jesus said to Martha, the one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? He said. That is the question that hangs over us today. Do you believe this? Because the life of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, is available for those who believe. Those who trust in him will be forgiven, and the power of sin and death over their lives will be broken. And though they die, yet shall they live. And so this morning, my question is, do you believe this? Let us bow our heads for a moment, please. If you're here this morning and you either have never made a decision in your own heart to trust in Jesus for your forgiveness and for eternal life, I want to make an opportunity for you to do that today, because the most important thing that you can do is respond to who Jesus is to put your life in his hands and to trust him for your forgiveness and for the hope of heaven. And if you're here this morning and you've either never made that decision, or maybe you've made it sometime in your past, but you've drifted a long ways from the path of serving Jesus, and today you want to get back on the path, I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me. Would you, if that's you and you're in the house today and you want to pray that prayer with me, to put your trust in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, would you raise your hand so that I can see it, so I can pray with you? Amen. Anyone else? Two more seconds. Anyone else? All right, let's pray. If you weren't able or didn't feel like you could raise your hand, just pray this prayer with me in your own heart, and you can be included too this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you loved us. Thank you that you are indeed the Son of the living God. Thank you that you came into this world to show us the love of the Father. Thank you that you came in this world to take my sin upon yourself so that I could be forgiven, so that I could be made free, so that I could have the hope of eternity with you. Please forgive me. Please come into my heart in a fresh way today. Give me life. Give me hope. Lord, thank you that I have the promise that I will spend eternity with you, the promise of resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Well, if you prayed that prayer with us, whether you raised your hand or not, I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to hear about it, or at least talk with the person who invited you today. We're going to invite Golden Harmony to come up for one more song before we close the service. So come on up, guys. Give them a big welcome.